Okay, I just have one question. Is it really here? Finally! Is it spring in Minnesota? Gal, I sure hope so. I just don't think I can take one single more moment of this. Wasn't yesterday great? Ah, what a day. I should have just parked my chair outside and sat there until the sun came up this morning. Did it come up this morning? I can't imagine a better backdrop for this morning's story of spring, of new life in Christ. The story that reminds us that no one is beyond the reach of God's love. No one. That person that we've so easily dismissed, crossed off our list, think again. God's got big plans for them. And who is God calling on to welcome them into the fold? Us. But don't worry. God will give you the strength when you need it. Because God's got this. And God's got us. Last week, Pastor Cieslik suggested that you and I are actually sitting in this church today because of today's story. The story of what happened to Saul on the road to Damascus. It's that important. And like all of Jesus' teaching, it's here to remind us that God can and use will people for good, situations for good, even deaths for good, all of us, and will be there to help us. So you remember the story. A man named Saul, who by all accounts was a big, scary man. He had it out for anyone and everyone who even mentioned the name Jesus, who believed in Jesus. He spent his days and his nights hunting down people, anyone remotely associated with Jesus. The Bible actually described him as breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Not a nice guy. So Saul heads out to the neighboring town of Damascus, intent in rounding up yet more followers of Jesus to bind them and drag them back to Jerusalem. And while on the road to Damascus, a light flashes, he's knocked to the ground blind, and Jesus' voice booms at him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And as you heard Pastor Rudd read, Jesus sends a vision to a man named Ananias, a good man. "Ananias," Jesus calls. "Here I am, Lord," he answers. "Get up and go into town. You will find a man there by the name of Saul. I want you to lay your hands on him so that he may regain his sight." I imagine Ananias thinking, Saul, Jesus? Are we thinking about the same Saul? That really mean one, the one who's grabbing all of us and throwing him in jail? You want me to go lay my hands on him? To Ananias, that must have sounded like, "Say, Ananias, I heard this great new fish that I don't have for my fish collection. It's called a man-eating piranha. And I hear, and if you go and splash around in the water, that maybe he'll come." And Jesus answered him, "Yep, he's the one. You may not see it yet, but I do. That man Saul, who said and done all those terrible things, he's the one. He's the one I've chosen to tell everyone about me." And fearful and doubtful as Ananias is of inviting Saul in, he goes and does exactly that. Maybe it's because he recognizes that Jesus welcomed him too in all his imperfection. Maybe it's because someone gave him a second chance along the way. Or maybe it's because his faith is so great that when he feels that nudge, he knows it's God. And his faith is enough to push away his fear and his doubt, to take a deep breath and to jump in and trust God's plan. Ananias goes into the house. He lays his hands on Saul and says these words, "Brother Saul, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road on your way here to Damascus has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And the Bible tells us immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, his sight was restored, and he got up and was baptized. And that man, Saul, that terrible man, Saul, who had done things we can't even imagine, he goes on to be the biggest proclaimer of Jesus throughout all the land. Jesus chose Saul after all the terrible things he had done. And that man, Saul, is the man we now call the Apostle Paul. And that is the man that wrote these words that are so essential to our faith. Words such as these: "If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, no, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That man wrote that. Or this: "Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." And he wrote this, teaching us how to live our life. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." And finally, that man, that awful man, wrote, "Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you." It's hard to imagine what our lives would be like today had God not chosen the uber-flawed Saul to be his disciple. And it's hard to imagine what our lives would be like today if Ananias, even though it would have been so much easier for him to ghost him, to ignore him, to forget about that guy that God felt nudging on his shoulder, forget that he was a child of God. But he took the risk of welcoming him, and not only welcoming him, but welcoming him to his inner circle. It is spring, I think, finally, a time of hope and renewal and new life in Jesus. If you or someone you love is in need of a clean slate or a second chance, and really, can't we all use a do-over once in a while? Remember this story of Saul and Ananias. If Jesus can use Ananias for good, he can use most anyone. So I leave you with this gospel challenge for the week. Who is God calling you to welcome into the fold? What nudge are you feeling on your heart? My hope and prayer for you today is this: when that doubt-filled voice comes into your head and you're thinking, "Wait, it'd be so much easier to not. I'm taking a risk. Wait, what do you want me to do, Lord?" That, like Ananias, your faith leads you to stay and to say instead, "Here I am, Lord. I'm on it. Welcome, brother." Amen.